Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, the only moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello and welcome to this matchday episode of Pod on the Tyne. My name's Taylor Payne and Newcastle are back in Premier League action tonight against Man City. It's 16 games without a win at the Etihad for the Magpies, and we'll hear from Chris Wolf and Luke Edwards in a bit, but first, here's the action.
It's Nico O'Reilly who's up there with him. Haaland's going to run on the outside. O'Reilly shoots! And O'Reilly scores! Tonali's corner. Cleared here as far as Hall, who's going to hit it back in. Deflected! And the equaliser! And it's the first goal of the season for Newcastle's left-back, Lewis Hall. It came through a crowd of players. It took a deflection on the way through. And the Newcastle supporters celebrate. And Manchester City's lead is gone. Into Erling Haaland. Now then, can he pick someone out? Coming in, it's O'Reilly! He's got another one! O'Reilly the finisher. 2-1 to Manchester City. It's a good ball, it's a good goal. It's Dan Burn. Then the offside flag goes up. Well, he thought about it, didn't he? The assistant took a while.
I think he gets pushed into that position, though. Watch there.
Absolutely right.
Who is it? He gets pushed. Spot. He gets pushed into an offside position.
I think it's Ruben Dias who gives him the nudge. It's Hall who's tried to fool the goalkeeper. Tried to squeeze that into the near post. And that's into the side netting. Swept on by Cherki. Good ball. Aitnori on the run. He's got Haaland up there with him. Dan Burn's got to come across. Aitnori. Oh, he forgot what to do when it really mattered.
Right, we're in the bowels of the Etihad. Well, we're in the Etihad media room. The game finished about 45 minutes ago. Newcastle United have lost for the 17th straight occasion at the Etihad. But this one was closer, and Pep Guardiola has just described Newcastle as an absolute nightmare to play with. Luke, 2-1 defeat. What is your sort of overriding feeling after that one?
Better than a lot of trips here, but I don't think I've ever, talking to the travelling Northeast journalists who've come down like yourself, Chris, and John Anderson from the BBC, who's loitering in the background, I've never known less optimism ahead of a game than there was tonight, I think. But I actually thought they gave them the real test, and it wasn't a one-sided game. We've become used to seeing one-sided games here. So on one hand, you're sort of thinking, well, they were a lot better than they have been. The way that Manchester City celebrated at the end, their players falling to the floor, the lap of the parade at the end, Pep Guardiola was going mental for him in terms of celebrating the win. I think they know that they were given pushed really, really hard by Newcastle tonight. So if we're going to take the positives from it, there is that. But that is the most damning statistic, isn't it? 17 straight league defeats. It's the worst record of any team at any Premier League ground in Premier League history. You've said Premier League a lot there.
Yes, and I mean, at least they scored tonight because they hadn't done that previously under Howe in the Premier League here and hadn't done, I think it was the last six Premier League visits. But when they fell behind early on, Nico O'Reilly scored, which in the first half was sort of a recurring theme, that when Newcastle gave the ball away, they went man for man to press. It was a bold way of playing, and it caused Man City problems, but equally in transition and return, there were gaps everywhere, particularly behind Kieran Trippier, or between Trippier and Malik Chow. And, yeah, basically two balls played through. Marmoush sends in Nico O'Reilly, he shoots. Nick Pope probably should do better, gets a hand to the shot, but Newcastle fall behind. And at that stage, you did almost fear that this could be another sort of rout that Newcastle have had here, didn't you?
Yeah, you did. And yeah, the first sort of 20 minutes followed a familiar pattern that I've seen countless times before, is that, you know, City dominate possession, they score an early goal, and then Newcastle forced to open up, and then City score a second. It didn't quite follow that. But it's interesting you're saying about the Nick Pope save. Donnarumma, right at the end, makes a full stretch fingertip save to keep out a shot from Harvey Barnes. Nick Pope in the first half, yes, the ball does swerve a little bit. It is a difficult save to make, but I think Nick Pope in his prime, Nick Pope at his best, saves that. And that has been a familiar story, that they're not giving up a whole lot of chances, but whether it's Ramsdale in goal or it's Nick Pope in goal, they're letting in too many of these shots are going in. So, yeah, to recover from that was actually quite impressive. I mean, the way they did, and they finished the second half strongly, and I fought for long periods in the second half. Newcastle were the better team, actually.
Yeah, and Newcastle obviously go and equalise, and it's actually from not a great corner that Sandro Tonali puts in, too short, but Man City butcher the clearance a little bit. Jacob Ramsey's in the box, plays it to the edge of the area. Lewis Hall has quite a lot of time, shoots, and then the ball deflects off Aiton Nouri and wrong foot's Donnarumma, and yeah, Newcastle brought themselves level, and so that made sure that they didn't really collapse and didn't concede that goal immediately.
No, that's right, and yeah, and we've seen it now, haven't we, in the last two games. We've got the two strikes from Tonali against Aston Villa in the FA Cup, and Hall today. It does look like they have actually been told to shoot a little bit more, which, you know, funnily enough, you sometimes score goals if you shoot, which is hardly a revolutionary.
Two of which are deflections, one of Tonali's at Villa's deflection.
Yeah, so it takes a big deflection. But
no, but you get that look, don't you, if you shoot sometimes?
If you shoot, yeah. And the Barnes shot right at the end, again, is set piece breaks down into the area and he has that shot, and it's a brilliant save. So they are doing more of it. I just think, overall, I just feel that today, despite the result, it is kind of further proof that things are better. I think there were some things that didn't work today. I thought also Marda in the midfield really didn't work today. I thought Alanga regressed a little bit today in terms of his decision-making and his execution. But there were... Yeah, I think it follows an upward trend, I think. Yeah, it's still a defeat, but I think overall it's more a signpost of an upward trend in terms of the team and its performance levels.
And Newcastle are back level for, I think, it's about 4.5 minutes. And then you mentioned Voldemarda. He's partly at fault for the second goal. The man for man, most of the game he was actually following, well, first half he's following Ruben Dias, but in that moment he had to shift to Antoine Semenyo, sort of almost leads with his arm a little bit. Semenyo brushes him off, plays the ball in the Haaland, who then chips it to the back post. Nico O'Reilly arrives, again, just in acres of space. He could have had a hat-trick a bit later on if he'd been onside for another sort of moment where nobody tracked him. And that's, I mean, Howe spoke afterwards about sort of defensive mistakes costing Newcastle. And that's another one where it just feels like they just haven't tracked clear runner in the box.
No, and it kept happening as well. And then that was the problem. It kept happening. I don't know whether it was Willock, I don't know if it was Walter Marder, I don't know if it was Alanga who was supposed to track that run, but nobody did. I mean, it's such a simple goal. I mean, Haaland just looked up and chipped it into the box, and then none of the centre-backs were too deep, yeah. So that was a problem. But they did, again, I'm trying to be positive, Chris, tonight. They did shore things up, and they did sort of stop that. Yes, Man City had a few attacks on transition in the second half, but Newcastle got really... I've not seen them get hold of a game like that against Manchester City away from home before. And what I will say is I think it bodes well for the FA Cup game, because I think actually they'll take a bit of confidence away from tonight and realise that they can cause Man City problems.
I mean, I am playing devil advocate to an extent, but I did ask Howe about this, and yeah, they've come to Man City, a ground where very few teams could clean sheets, but there's two clean sheets in 20 Premier League games. I think it might be three in 26 in all competitions. So I asked Eddie Howe about that and about whether defensive injuries and constant changing of the defence, is it affecting that? Because Malik Chow, 38th successive start tonight, but he's not going to start on Tuesday. Sven Botman wasn't available, might be back come Tuesday night. So here's what Howe said on that.
I think when you look at the players we've had injured and the lack of rotation, I have to say the back four that played today did really well off the back of the run of games that we've had to keep turning up and producing, I thought, good performances, although there's a couple of mistakes in there that you will highlight and go, we could have done better. Overall, the players are all out and doing their best for the football club, and we're missing some top defenders that would have made a difference. And I'm sure if we had those players available, that record wouldn't sound as negative as it does. But certainly there's areas to improve, and I'm disappointed the fact we conceded two goals today, because when you look at the game, I don't think that was probably what we deserved.
Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Also, a lot of people are talking about incidents, and there was an incident at the 42nd minute. Another one.
Yeah, Dan Burn briefly looked like he'd headed Newcastle level before half-time. Really good header. Don't know what Donnarumma's doing, but it's a really, really good header. Great free kick from Tonali. But the linesman flag went up pretty quickly. And actually, on the sort of first view of the replay, you look at it and think, oh, yeah, he's offside. But he's actually shoved offside by Ruben Diaz. It should have been. And none of us are entirely sure of the law. There's an AI version of going around circulating on social media, which I don't think is correct. It seems to be that the foul, if it was spotted, would have meant a retaking of the free kick, but it wouldn't have been a penalty. But then I'm seeing other people saying that you can't be offside if you're fouled to be offside, so the goal should have stood. I'm going to have to wait for clarification, but that wasn't why Newcastle didn't get anything out of the game. It happened so early in the match that there was so much more to come. I'm not saying they've been robbed. I don't think it's a catastrophic blunder from the officials. I would just urgently like someone to show me some clarification on whether it's now okay to foul somebody and shove them offside, and then you get the decision.
Yeah, I mean, there is an exchange, which Ollie can put in this, between you and Eddie Howe, where you seem to be informing Eddie Howe of a rule which may or may not exist.
Well, I did admit, I'm not entirely sure if this is right or not.
Are you aware of the law about shoves? If you are shoved offside, it seems to be a suggestion that the law of the game says you can't be offside. So will you seek to clarify that decision with the relevant authorities?
Yeah, well, I didn't know about that rule, so maybe you've educated me for the first time on something. So I'll...
I've done it before.
But if that is the case, and I haven't seen the push, but if that is the case, then I'll seek clarification.
I don't think anybody is actually entirely sure. Well, he might seek clarification, then found out I was talking absolute nonsense. And I'm sure he'll tell me if that is the case in the next press conference.
I mean, Howe was also asked about, there was an incident with Bernardo Silva where he'd been booked and then immediately afterwards went and then shoved Byrne. It was off the ball. It could have been a second book and wasn't given. I mean, Byrne himself, who'd already been booked early on for tugging Haaland, also did it.
There's a great battle. The Haaland-Byrne battle today was really good.
I thought the referee actually allowed them to as well. It was almost, it looked like he'd given the Byrne one, the booking, almost for as much as the talking back. He seemed to want to let there be a bit of physicality.
Yeah, it was a real ding-dong from start to finish. And Byrne actually acquitted himself really, really well in that, because, yes, Haaland had a couple of chances, but I thought Byrne stood up for him physically. And Haaland, you know, he's not the same threat at the moment as he has been, but I think a lot of credit for that has to go down to the way Byrne dealt with him today.
In the second half, I mean, Newcastle actually had more possession than Man City in the second half. It was only 52-48, but I don't think many would have expected that, certainly when they're behind. And Man City, you mentioned the scenes at the end. I wouldn't say they were rattled, but I think there was nerves there. I think that they were struggling to keep hold of the ball. They were dropping deeper. Newcastle put a lot of long balls forward. They tried to drop deeper to stop the transitional threat Newcastle had in the first half, so he didn't get as many times where Gordon and Alanga got to be aimed, but then decision-making a couple of times wasn't there. Alanga could have played through Gordon at one stage, made the wrong decision. There was another time when Asula comes on later on, and Asula moves out wide left when he should run through the middle to be played through by Ramsey. So Newcastle, I thought, played well without actually having really big chances beyond the Barnes one at the end, which even is from distance. It was the final decision maker, really, wasn't it? Wasn't there?
And that's been the story of the whole season, hasn't it? And we're going to have to mention his name again, but that they are not the same team in attack without Alexander Isak. And if Isak was on that pitch today, you suspect they would have got a 2-2 draw at least, because the way City were defending and leaving all that space in behind. You know, if you have a competent centre forward who you know, can time a run and run in on goal and finish. I mean, the Alanga one and Gordon one was the big one. There was a quick free kick. Alanga did really well, actually, initially.
He got
into a lot of space on the halfway line, drove forward, and Gordon was in. If he just rolls it behind, Gordon's going to be away because he's up to full speed and the defender's not going to stop him.
And he was furious, Gordon.
Yeah. And Alanga holds onto the ball too long. And that's what I mean about Alanga a little bit today. I thought there were a few times where execution and decision-making was poor. If you're going to win against these big teams, which Newcastle aren't doing this season enough, you need to sharpen up in the final third, and they haven't been sharp enough in the final third all season.
You mentioned the Voldemort midfield role, which very much is left-sided number 8. Eddie Howe is adamant this is not a number 10, this is not a 4-2-3-1. He's been a bit short about that this week. He's been quite frustrated, I think, about some of the narratives out there. But he started him. He'd been asked in the press conference yesterday as to whether it would be, could he actually do that, though, in a game at Man City? And I think I agree with you. I think there were limitations to what he can bring on. And Joe Linton came on for him, and I think there was a positive there. I mean, Joe Linton gave away fouls, as he usually does. But also, I thought Newcastle looked a bit more solid. And I think, when you mention that game in a few weeks' time, to have Joe Linton, Howe will want Joe Linton in that midfield for that home game, won't he?
Absolutely will, because I think he ruffles feathers as well. He smashes people. When he upsets them, you could tell as soon as he got on the pitch, Man City didn't like it. They didn't like the fact that he was better at shutting them down in transition, and he was snapping into tackles. There was a thunderous one on Semenyo, which left Semenyo in a heap. And Semenyo went off a few seconds after that. He will be better, and I think the good thing that Newcastle have got is they've pretty much got the job done against Carabag in the first leg. So for the first time, really, Howe has got, and I hope he takes it, of resting. Like, he's got, there are players there who are desperate for a week off. So I suspect, you know,
Chow is suspended, so Chow can't play.
He's going to rest, but I suspect Wissa will come back and play up front. I would persevere with Voldemort just to give him more practice playing in that sort of game. But I think players like Gordon need a rest. I think Alanga probably needs a rest. Tonali desperately needs a rest. Lewis Hall needs a rest. So hopefully he can take that opportunity to give those players a bit of a breather and then go again, you know, against Everton.
You've named quite a few players there, though, and Newcastle have quite a few injuries at the minute. So how many of those can he actually change unless he is to bring the kids? And I don't see him bringing the kids.
Hall needs to be rested and Tonali needs to be rested, I would have said, and Gordon. I think you have to rest those three.
He's got decisions. I mean, defensively, he's probably going to have to play a Burn, but Burn could get a boot gun and then he'll be suspended for the next round. Same with Joe Linton. So he has. I think it's more complicated than he can just jettison these players or not jettison them. But as you say, the game is tied up. He will not want to necessarily see it that way. But just as a final sort of point, I mean, you've tried to be positive from this. Yeah. I want to sort of accentuate that and say that this is that Newcastle did win 3 away games inside a week. They've come here and put in a largely decent performance, even if they maybe lack something. Probably at either end, they conceded 2 sloppy goals and didn't take their chances. Do you think this will puncture the momentum, or do you think they can carry some of that through?
I think they can carry it through. I think that, as I say, upward trajectory is how I would describe the performance levels. They were more dangerous today. Yes, it's a concern that they're still conceding goals from not a lot of chances given up. But I think things are getting better and we are seeing more from the likes of Alanga. I know I've been a bit critical tonight, but we are seeing more from Alanga now. We are seeing more from Jacob Ramsey, who I again thought was very, very good today.
Yeah, I thought he probably possibly Newcastle man.
So that's 2 of the summer signings now that you're beginning to sort of think, okay, I can see that they are going to bring something to the squad, to the team. And I think that bodes well. So, yeah, they've got a midweek, have a nice breather. I'd like to see some of the young kids given a chance, certainly in the second half, if they can put a stronger team out in the first half and then, you know, in the second half, really rotate and bring players in. So it's better than it was. It's certainly better than it was even a fortnight ago.
And I would like an update from Eddie Howe as to whether he's clarified that rule, whether it is Luke has given him duff information or whether it's correct information or not.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given anybody duff information, Chris.
No, probably a lot on this podcast as well. But no, thank you very much for joining once again, Luke Edwards from The Telegraph there. And yes, we are leaving the Adi. You will next hear us later in the week.
So there we go. Thank you for listening to this matchday episode. And there's more Pod on the Tyne just around the corner, as we'll bring you another extra time matchday episode as Newcastle take on Qarabag in the second leg of the Champions League playoff. Podonthetyne.supportandcast.fm is the link you need if you want to hear that, and if you want to join our subscriber Discord channel as well. Then later in the week, we'll be back with our regular weekly show. Get in touch via podonthetyne@gmail.com. Give us a follow on Twitter X and Blue Sky @podonthetyne. Thanks to Chris and Luke again for their contributions, and thanks again to all of you for listening to this matchday episode. From everybody at Pod on the Tyne, take care. Goodbye.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.